Welcome to the Bicycling Podcast. Our first series, How to Climb Like a Boss, is designed to help you climb like a mountain goat, or at least to get you to the top of a hill before your mates, unless, of course, they're listening to this podcast too. In this four-part series, we look at mental approach, power-to-weight ratio, techniques and tips, and the role of weight in climbing. And yes, we ask if banting is all that. Joining me, Jonathan Anser, and bicycling editor Mike Finch, is a man who can help you climb like a boss. Cycling guru Dr. Jeroen Swart is a sports physician, exercise physiologist at the Sports Science Institute, and bicycling scientific editor. Oh, and his list of Strava King of the Mountains shows that he doesn't climb like a boss, he climbs like a god. You get to the bottom of the hill, you look up. Man, oh man. It's steeper than a gourmet dinner at a French restaurant at the waterfront in tourist season.
You could climb it if you really wanted to, but life's too short to suffer,
says Lazy You. You're about to turn around and go back home, when Enthusiastic You takes over.
Wow! The view from the top will be pretty spectacular. It will be worth the grueling climb.
You take a deep breath.
Screw the view. If you want to see a pretty vista, buy a postcard.
What do you do? Do you listen to Lazy You and turn around and go back? Or do you adjust your attitude and tackle the climb? We discuss this in part one of How to Climb Like a Boss. Jeroen, how do you harness Enthusiastic You?
I think a lot of riders, especially novices, are quite fearful of climbing. And the intimidation that climbs pose tends to, you know, to use a colloquial term, psych them out. And as a result, the stress and the anxiety tend to make them perform poorly. If you actually look at the modern bicycle, we've got so many gears on bikes that, in fact, you can actually make it up pretty much any climb as long as you've got the right gearing. So choosing a bike that's got good gearing, well, essentially, if you can walk up a climb, you can ride a bike up a climb. And so you actually don't need to fear it.
Yeah. Are there any climbs that you've feared?
No, you know what? I've always relished climbing. And that's one of the things that you've got to adopt as a cyclist if you want to enjoy riding over hilly terrain, is you've got to actually look to those climbs as a place where you can actually tackle, whether it be a mate who's on a similar level to you, or if you're competing at the highest level to your fellow competitors, it's a place where you can put them to the sword.
Yeah.
And more so than anywhere else. And so I relish that challenge, you know, and if you fail, you've got to come back another day. But in terms of the climbs themselves, anybody can make it over a climb. As long as you persevere and you just get into a rhythm, I think a lot of amateurs hit a climb expecting to be able to keep a speed that's similar to, you know, something that they felt on the flat.
Yeah.
And if they just make peace with the fact that they can slow down, and if they slow down enough and keep moving, they're going to get over the climb.
This is one of my issues, is that when I see a hill, I do relish it, and I start off spinning quite, and I start off going quite quickly up the hill, and then suddenly I get into a position where I'm not sure whether I should keep on spinning because it feels like my heart is about to explode, or whether I should just grind it, and I can never quite get into a rhythm, and I'm not sure, you know, what do I do then?
That's one of those things that you'll get with experience. So you've got to, so if you want to become good at climbing, go out and spend your time on the climbs, because it is, you know, to a large extent about experience and developing the techniques that we're going to talk about in the later podcasts. And one of the things that you want to do on a climb is you don't want to sit, you can't actually spin up a climb.
Yeah.
Some of the top professionals can do it because they practice it, and that's one of the things that we train for, is to try and increase the cadence on a climb because it's more efficient. But if you're struggling, or if you're trying to go as hard as you can, riding at a lower cadence is actually going to cost you less oxygen. It's more efficient in terms of oxygen cost, and so it'll actually feel easier. So what you want to do is you keep the same gear rolling into a climb and let your cadence progressively drop down till you get to a cadence of about between 60 and 80. And the exact cadence is not important. It's where you feel most comfortable.
Yeah.
And when you get to that comfortable cadence that you can stomp out a rhythm, if you get to a steeper part, or if you're starting to fatigue, you gear down, but you maintain that same cadence and that same pressure on the pedals that you did before. And that'll let you get to the top.
I mean, physics aside, I'm very different to John and yourself. I'm 95 kgs when I'm fit, you know, to some extent. And going up a hill is always a scary proposition. I know I'm not going to be able to compete with the top guys. And I always think when I'm going up a climb, I feel like I'm absolutely blowing a gasket trying to keep on the back of the wheel of somebody who's a lot shorter than me and a lot smaller than me. And I think, how far can I push this? In other words, mentally I'm saying it feels like I got lactic acid burning through my legs. Is it heart rate based? You say if you're going at 90%, then that's it? Or is it like, are there mental techniques you can use to say, okay, you are hurting, but here's strategies to get your mind over this hill?
So the length of the climb really determines how hard you can hit it. Mm-hmm. And every individual is going to have a different capacity. And being a bigger guy, you are going to climb for your relative fitness at a slower pace than a smaller, lighter guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to accept that. But in the time that you're trying to stay with the lighter guys, a good technique is to break the climb up into segments.
Mm-hmm.
So mentally, try and break it down into whatever it be, quarters or tenths, and focus only on getting past that next point and creating a target at which point you reevaluate. And so mentally, if you keep having to so you're only setting a promise to your governor, in essence, the subconscious that's controlling your workload, that you're going to only ride that hard till that point, and then reevaluate how you feel. That'll make you feel a lot better. And when you get to that point, you can decide to either back off and let the wheel go, or try and hold on for another segment. So breaking it down into smaller bits.
You know, it's interesting. You look at a guy like Ryder Hazardal, who's is a big guy. He's probably my height, 6'4" odd, and obviously much leaner than I am. But he seems to handle the hills on the Tour de France routes as well as any of the climbers. Is that a mental thing or is it a physiological thing? I mean, it just seems to be one. There's the one guy who seems to the physics. He seems to almost defy them in some ways.
Ryder Hazardal is sort of the exception. Miguel Indurain was also an exception.
Yeah.
They, individuals who, despite their size, have still got relatively high power-to-weight ratios. And that tends to come from being physiologically quite gifted. But they'll still suffer on the steep climbs. So you'll see Ryder Hirschedal will do well on a climb that's up to about 10% in gradient. Once it kicks up to over 10%, then the pure climbers come out. And that's when, you know, the Chris Froomes and smaller, skinnier guys are going to, you know, start moving away from them. And so for someone like Ryder Hirschedal, it's about trying to maintain a constant pace, especially the accelerations. When you're heavier, constant acceleration and deceleration is going to hurt you more.
So one of the interesting things, you basically look at a guy like Ryder Hirschedal, one of the things that I'm getting out from that is that maybe as a heavier rider, you must accept that the steep climbs are not going to be your forte, but accept that maybe, you know, not such a steep climb maybe is. So just accepting your physiology is maybe the key to being successful as a rider, and maybe not going to enjoy the climbs, but the flats or the slight drags, maybe that's when you can put the hurt on the guys who are probably smaller than you.
Definitely. And one of the things that you can use to your advantage is you've got greater inertia. And in terms of your size, your power to drag ratio is much higher. And so what you can really hurt the climbers, the pure climbers, on the early part of a climb. So if you roll into a climb at high speed, they're going to be on the limit at the beginning of the climb. And if you let that carry that inertia into the climb, so keep the speed high and maybe even draft some other riders, you can actually end up putting them on the back foot initially and then just trying to maintain a pace that you know that you can hold to the top. So riding at the absolute maximum, but sustained, and then hope that they don't manage to, you know, come past you or attack you. Jeroen, and if they do, let them go.
Can you recall the toughest climb you've ever climbed?
The toughest climb I've ever climbed is really, it depends on how you're feeling. And the worst one I had was World Champs Marathon 2002.
Yeah.
I didn't have a marathon type build-up. It was the week before the World Cross Country Champs. And I decided to enter the World Marathon Champs on a whim, and maybe it was a big mistake, but we had four massive alpine climbs, and we lose context. We don't have any context really in South Africa of how big those climbs are. If you put, for instance, Chapman's Peak against the profile of one of those climbs, you know, we're talking about a climb four or five times in height and duration, and you have four of them in a row. And on the last one, I was completely spent. And I actually started the last climb already wanting to get off my bike.
Yeah.
And having to climb another 16, I think it was 16 kilometers at over 10% off-road. there were times when I was literally pacing myself from tree to tree. and saying, I'm just going to ride until the next tree. And if I make it to the next tree, I'll reconsider and see whether or not I pull out of this race. And basically, I just rode from tree to tree.
Sounds like me and my morning rides.
Yeah. It was unbelievably unpleasant.
Yeah.
So,
but setting those little goals is actually quite a good motivator.
Yes, you just keep making bargains with yourself and keep bargaining your way all the way to the top.
Yeah.
But eventually you'll get there. You know, failing a medical condition, you're not going to die on a climb. So if you can make peace with the fact that it's going to hurt, but eventually it'll end, it becomes just a game of attrition and mental strength to just keep
so going. Did you get to the end?
I did. I didn't do very well that year, but I eventually did get to the finish. So I was very happy to see the start of the last descent.
I'm often intrigued by how important it is if you're in a group. I mean, whether you're mountain biking or road biking, how come if you're on the front of the group and everybody's behind you, you tend to ride better up a climb than you would if you're following somebody's wheel?
It's just one of the key things of the brain's regulation of exercise. So we all believe that there's some sort of physiological limit. In actual fact, we have quite a substantial reserve, and what's actually stopping us from going faster is our brain. And one of the things that the brain, which reduces the perceived exertion scales, if you're using scale, but why you feel better, is if you're leading, you feel less exertion than if you're following somebody.
Why?
It's just a subconscious.
You're in control.
On a climb, you're in control, and in a race, positive affect of leading, so the how you feel psychologically about that is enough to reduce some feelings of the negative feelings that are associated with exerting yourself very hard. So it's quite a complex interaction.
So the longer you lead on a climb, in a way, psychologically has its advantages.
It does, as long as the speed is slow enough that you're not missing out on the draft. So once it gets to below 20 kilometers an hour, sitting at the front is going to feel easier and make you last longer.
So add this to your mental checklist. Don't fear the climb. If you can walk up a climb, you can ride up it. Set yourself achievable goals, even if it's just to get to the next tree. When you make that goal, reassess where you're at. Savor every milestone. Staying in the front will give you a psychological edge. Get into a comfortable pedaling rhythm. Learn to relish the climb. But if you can't relish it, at least don't be intimidated by it. You control it. Don't let it control you. If you want to be a better climber, then climb.